Auschwitz on the Streets, Death Marches in Dresden. Two acquaintances are talking to each other on Dresden's Carola Bridge with a view of the old city.
I was in Auschwitz.
Oh, really?
No, no. I was at Auschwitz Memorial Site last month.
Oh, got it. And?
You simply have to have been there, at least once. Especially as a German. The site had a deep impact on me. I finally understood the meaning of fascism in Auschwitz. It can never be allowed to happen again. You know, just being there, so close, it is a very different kind of experience. You're at this place, where they were all murdered. We could talk a lot about it back here. We were taught about it in school, but there! It's simply authentic. You can't just look the other way. When you're there, you are close to history. If you ask me, every school class should be sent there. After the guided tour, we talked to a survivor of Auschwitz. That kind of experience goes way beyond the actual place itself. I find the stories really touching. We also have to keep in mind that they are all slowly dying off.
It seems to me that the hope has been overestimated in this case. This one short moment of horror at most leads to a never again. What people hope for is that the directness and emotionality of the place will bring about some kind of purification, a kind of redemption of guilt, a kind of I know what happened now. It is simply good manners. Plus, it gives the mass crime a location, namely the camps in Eastern Europe.
Yes, yes, I know, but don't forget the memorial sites, Buchenwald and Sachsenhausen and all the others in Germany.
Of course. But what I actually meant was that the extermination didn't just take place in the concentration camps, but on the very doorsteps. The camps always seemed so far away from everyday life, but the truth is that the prisoners were marched through town centers throughout Germany.
But the concentration camp memorial sites are the central locations of the crime.
The memorial sites usually remind us only of the Jews who were murdered there. But just think of the mass shootings, the planned starvation, the ghettos, and the death marches.
Sure. Not the first time I've heard of them.
There weren't any major concentration camps in Dresden. But who knows what it was that really happened, say, here on this very spot. Maybe a crime without actual traces or memories. Right now there is a commission of historians in Dresden. They are investigating each and every sheet of paper, but only when it comes to the bombings of February 13th, 45.
After 1944, the concentration camps were cleared before the Allies arrived. More than 700,000 people had to cope with trekking enormous distances or were transported under the most appalling conditions in goods trucks and cattle wagons. Weakened as they were by the conditions in the camps, the death marches brought yet another kind of suffering to those affected. 200,000 to 350,000 people did not survive. The guards on the death marches were made up of SS Totenkopf units, soldiers in the regular army, policemen, members of the Volkssturm, and the Hitler Youth. They shot prisoners, murdered the sick, and massacred entire columns of prisoners. The crimes didn't just happen before entering or after leaving a town, but actually in the town centers. It was, according to Barbara Distel, a public slaughter. At least three death marches were escorted through Dresden during the last months of the war. In January 1945, the whole of Gross Rosen concentration camp near Breslau, today's Wrocław in former Silesia, was disbanded together with all its satellite camps. The prisoners were sent on death marches under surveillance in groups, some of which numbered more than 1,000. They therefore missed being liberated by the Red Army. In February 1945, they were driven through Saxony by guards. However, as early as January 16, 1945, one group reached Dresden, where they were loaded onto a train.
It turned out that our next destination was Dresden, nearly 190 kilometers from Gross Rosen. We actually arrived in the city itself, not on the outskirts as we had in Breslau. I saw railway tracks, and a little further on I saw an old locomotive puffing at the platform. Behind it were many open cattle cars, winding snake-like along the tracks. After walking for nearly 375 kilometers, we realized the death march seemed to be over. We were pushed and shoved like bits of rubbish, as the SS ordered us onto the open tray-like carriages, which were covered in frozen animal manure, ice and snow. The train pulled out of the station, slowly gathering speed, packed with its human cargo. It did not get very far. We pulled into the main city station of Dresden and stopped. Air raid sirens were screaming around us, whistling their loud deafening shriek. People were scrambling for the shelters. Our brave SS guards jumped down from the wagons without giving us a second thought. They ran towards the shelters and left us to remain in the open. Overhead, we could see the bombers flying so low we could actually see them clearly. And we saw the bombs fall, raining down on this German city, crammed full of terrified Germans. One of the targets was the marshalling yards near where our train was standing. During the raid, we watched as the bombs fell like manna from heaven. We were not scared, even as shrapnel flew around us, striking many prisoners and killing more than a few. They died knowing that the Nazis were all but defeated. We watched, tearfully, with the realization that perhaps we would survive after all. It was a sign of hope. Suddenly, the bomb raid was all over and it was quiet. Miraculously, our station was relatively undamaged, and within a few minutes our guards returned. The train started to move again, and the SS started eating again. Olga Horak, Auschwitz to Australia.
Another 1,300 Jews were camped in the Dresdner Haida outside of bombed-out Dresden from February 14th to 16th. A third group experienced the air raids of February 13th, 1945, in the city center.
For miles and miles now we saw road signs pointing to Dresden, a big, beautiful city. I remembered it from my history books. We must have marched about 250 kilometers since Grünberg. The SS evidently wanted to reach the city before nightfall. It was getting dark, and big trucks were constantly coming towards us, forcing us off the road and slowing our march. As we approached the outskirts of Dresden, we heard air raid sirens blowing warnings, and soon hundreds of planes roared through the skies. We stood on a bridge over the Elbe as the SS watched us from the banks. They probably felt the bridge was a likely target, and this would be an easy way to get rid of us. It was as if the world were coming to an end. Giant bombers roared over us. Heaven and earth shook. Houses collapsed like dominoes. People screamed and some jumped in flames into the icy river. Germany was being destroyed. I was not afraid for my life. I felt triumphant watching Dresden being destroyed. And yet, I had a painful feeling of detachment and utter loneliness. I don't remember how long the attack lasted, how we finally got off the bridge. I only remember the triumph and the loneliness. Gerda Weismann-Klein, All But My Life.
So, it's not just inside camps that you can find monsters. Smaller SS units and their auxiliaries also drove the Jews from the concentration camps and through the countryside, completely at random. There were no direct orders anymore. You would imagine that the lower ranks of the staff would have treated the prisoners less brutally. But even here, no hope for the Jews. Knowing that the Allies were virtually at the doorstep did not stop Operation Death March.
But didn't Himmler even start thinking of the Jews as a potential bargaining counter? Isn't that why he ordered an end to the killing?
Not even under massive bombing would they let the prisoners go. And the population did not stop the death marches either.
So the death marches were led past the soup kitchens for the bombed out and German refugees?
Yes. Unfortunately, that is how we have to imagine the scenario.
But the air raids on Dresden did at least save Viktor Klimperer. I will be a witness. You know, I read that.
Yes, sure. But what do you mean by saved? Only the deportations were stopped. Didn't you turn the page? As he describes, that didn't mean people's lives were no longer threatened. The fear of the Gestapo, the fear of police informers.
Olga Horak experienced an air raid in Dresden on January 16, 1945. The train which she and other victims of the death marches were thrown into left the city straight after the raid. It reached Bergen-Belsen concentration camp a few days later. The group, including Gerda Klein, was forced to march more than 100 kilometers after the air raid took place on February 13 and 14, 1945. Some of the few surviving women were found by American troops on May 5, 1945, near Volary, in today's Czech Republic, not far from Passau. Other surviving Jews could only be rescued on May 6 by Czech villagers. Many of them died over the following days. The death march, which couldn't pass Dresden during the air raids and that had to camp in the Dresden Heide, was led across Dresden's Karolabrücke in the morning of February 17, 1945, passing right through the city. These Jewish women were then forced as far as Volary, together with the others from Helmbrechts, a satellite camp of Flossenbürg concentration camp. Just as in Buchenwald near Weimar, American units spent the following days forcing non-Jewish Germans to walk past the dead bodies of the murdered Jews. Those who were confronted with the crimes probably included Erwin Strittmatter, who later became a famous writer. An episode, like his co-perpetrator status as a member of the SS, that disappears in the nebulous parts of his autobiographical works.
Yes. Luckily that was followed by the liberation.
What do you mean? For whom?
All of us, of course.
Well, that depends on which side of the street you were on.